Hi, my name is Heidi Phillips, and you're listening to The Aging Athlete. We'll be discussing topics related to aging well and living an active life. Many times we'll have interviews with medical professionals, athletes, and other experts in the aging journey. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this episode.
Well, hello and welcome back to The Aging Athlete. Very happy that today we have with us Tricia Silverman. She is a registered dietitian. And Tricia, you live in Canada. Thank you so much for your time today.
And Heidi, I actually live in Massachusetts.
Oh, why did I think you live in Canada?
I know, you know, I probably, because I speak at the CanFit, I've spoken at the CanFit Pro conferences, and you probably saw flags at different times on on my social media. So that's probably why, but I love Canada. But I'm actually in the Boston area. I have a bit of a New York accent. So I'm originally from New York, but I've been in Boston for about 20 years now.
That's what your accent threw me. And I totally thought this whole time you lived in Canada. That's hilarious. Okay. Well, we figured out, we managed a time to figure out a time to meet. So it all works. So Boston area, nice. Well, I'm just going to read a little bit about you and then we'll start with our questions. Great. So Tricia, absolutely. Tricia's a registered dietitian, a group fitness instructor, a personal trainer, and a wellness coach. She's an international virtual and live presenter and specializes in creating and delivering exciting and engaging group wellness programs. She developed the SCW Nutrition for Active Aging certification, which she has led across the United States. She teaches nutrition entrepreneurship and healthy aging for Northeastern University, and she's recently been promoted to a faculty lead where she helps coordinate the applied nutrition program. So welcome to the podcast, Tricia.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, absolutely. I was excited when I read about you and I saw you post inside one of the SCW fitness conferences. I think it was a virtual conference they had recently. And I saw that you were doing this active aging certification. And of course, with the topic that of that topic, of course, I wanted to talk to you and have you share that. But I love that you also have an MBA. So you've got that entrepreneurship business side, and then you also have this nutrition and wellness side. And as someone who has been into health and wellness a long time and who has, I have my own business, that's very intriguing to me. So you are definitely the right person to be asking these questions to. I always love to know why people do what they do. So will you share with us a little bit about how you became interested in what you do and went to school for and what you do now?
Well, I got interested in nutrition for a few different reasons. My mom had a lot of health magazines around the house growing up and health books. She had Prevention Magazine. I remember that being around, and little booklets on vitamins. And it just intrigued me, like, oh, what are these vitamins? And I remember she had one of the earliest fitness books that I've ever seen out there. And I thought, oh, this is interesting. So I had this interest that grew from there. But I was an overweight kid and couldn't quite figure out why, because we ate really healthy Monday through Friday. But then the weekends were kind of a mess. But I didn't realize that until after I became a dietitian. So I had this interest in both fitness and nutrition. And I had a guidance counselor that told me, well, you have to just pick one. So I picked nutrition, but I always loved fitness too. And it was really great later on to combine fitness and nutrition. I've taught a lot of programs where it's half and half. I do 45 minutes of nutrition, 45 minutes of fitness. And it's really great to just be on talking about fitness, to tell people to do their fitness, to do it with them and lead them. So that's been really rewarding to do. So I've enjoyed doing those combined programs. And I realized later on, you don't have to pick one. You can do both, and you can do even more than that. So it's been exciting having different components, you know, involved in what I do as part of my career. Because I got the MBA, and thank you for mentioning that. That just, you know, helped me understand how to run a business. And then I took my passions and I just get to explore what I'm fascinated about within my business. So that's, you know, I feel really fortunate for that.
I love that. definitely are doing a lot of different things that I saw on your website as well. So I love that you've been able to combine so many things to help people. And so you've written a book called Healthy Dividends. Can you share with us what made you want to write a book, and what are some of the big takeaways from that? What do you want people to take away from reading that?
Well, what I've always loved is to learn and then help people with what I've learned. And that's what the book really is. It goes beyond if you come see me at a 60-minute employee wellness seminar or, you know, an hour and 15-minute program at a conference. That it's great and you'll pick up information, but the book kind of gives you more. And that's what I wanted to do, give people more than what I can just give them in 1 hour or 90 minutes. And the book is an overall healthy eating resource and a way to help you live longer from what I've learned about different cultures of longevity across the world. And it has, it just, you know, I cover aspects of weight loss, aspects of balanced eating. So it's not just, you know, a weight loss book or a healthy eating book. It's really just a general nutrition and wellness resource guide to help people. And I put in a lot of stories of people that I've met along the way, what I've learned from working with clients I've put in there. So it's really like a baby for me. It's the, you know, future books will kind of take a microscope at certain parts of this book, but this book really covers a lot of really helpful information. So it's a way of just helping people beyond 1 hour.
And it sounds like a great resource also for the people that you work with, that so they can have all of that information, and for people who maybe don't get a chance to work with you as well to get a little more knowledge and information. I love the way you say you take from around the world. So I'm assuming you're familiar with the blue zones and all of that. So that's where, is that what you were referring to?
Yeah. So, and I teach healthy aging at Northeastern University, and in that class, one of the Blue Zones books is actually part of the curriculum, but another book too is called Healthy at 100. And that explores beyond the current known Blue Zones and talks about areas such as Hunza and Abkhazia and Vilcabamba. And these were the Blue Zones of years ago, that, you know, in the early 70s and 50s and 60s, there was another researcher from National Geographic that looked at these areas. His name is Dr. Alexander Leaf, and he wrote about them for National Geographic, just like Dan Buettner writes about, you know, the Blue Zones for National Geographic now. And these areas, they still exist and people still live there. It's just a little lesser known, but we talk about those in my class. And another one that's come up recently is Bama, China is starting to be known as another area of longevity. So there are other pockets around the world that are pretty fascinating where the older people live really long lives and you don't see the heart disease, cancer, dementia, diabetes that we see in the US. So I find these areas really fascinating. And in the book, I've combined what I've learned from these different areas and just talk about an overall healthy way of eating. I developed what I call the nutritious plate, and I put my name in there, nutritious plate. And that kind of describes a way of healthy eating that combines different ways from across the world, from also looking at the USDA's My Plate, the Harvard School of Public Health's plate, the American Diabetes Association's plate, the Okinawan Pyramid, the Canadian plate. And I put them all together into what I think is the ideal way of eating to be healthy and live a long life. And one key piece of that plate is half your plate vegetables. The new dietary guidelines just came out in December, and they reported that 90% of the U.S. are not getting enough vegetables. 90%. So that's, you know, most of the people that you and I know and walk into and talk with, most people aren't getting enough. So I thought it was important to put half of that plate as the icon to just see it, that, oh, we really need more vegetables. And you can, people listening can't see, but in the background here, when I teach, I have a rainbow poster just as a reminder to not only get your vegetables in, get your fruits in, and try to eat a variety of colors of fruits and vegetables so we can get different types of nutrients and vitamins, minerals, polyphenols, antioxidants, just all the good stuff that really gives you vibrant health.
That's fantastic. I love hearing that. I'm only familiar with the Hunza population that you mentioned from another book I've read, Fiber Fueled by Dr. Will Bolsiewicz. He goes really into digestive health, and it was looking at the Hunza population, they realized that Western civilizations, we have much less microbial diversity in our gut. And that's who they looked at as a comparison. And that was just shocking to me that we've lost so much of that diversity. But I digress. We'll come back to this. But I thought that was fascinating.
I think it is fascinating. I'm glad you brought that up. I was just reading a fiber study earlier, and it was about fiber and depression, this study. And it talked about in this study that looked at other studies, it talked about what you mentioned with the microbiome and how people who have diabetes, for instance, their microbiome looks different than someone who doesn't have it. So there is something to be said for eating lots of plants and having that affect the microbiome. So essentially the bacteria in your body, we want more good bacteria. And then we want to feed that bacteria because that bacteria ferments the fiber that you eat. And then the byproducts are really healthy for us, such as the short chain fatty acids that come out of it. But the key is, if you don't want to learn about microbiome and you don't want to hear about short chain fatty acids, just eat more plants. It's so simple. Eat the rainbow, eat plants, and it can make a huge difference in your life.
I love that. I think we have tried to take things and make them so complicated, and yet it's so simple. If we would just get back to eating more plants, that a lot of these things would resolve that we're trying to do specific research on anyway. Or try to create specific medications for. I personally am a fan of trying to change your lifestyle and what you eat before you're going to take a pill, but that's my personal preference. And I feel like more people need to take that responsibility rather than rely on a medication. But that's just, again, my personal preference.
I'm right there with you. I feel the same way. And I love to, when I work with clients and, you know, when there's a story in my book, actually, on a woman that I met that went off all of her medications after she lost a lot of weight and, you know, saw less pain and she had less copays to pay. I mean, it was just a huge awakening, you know, losing weight and eating healthier, and to see that it can, you know, affect all of your numbers when you visit the doctor and your pocketbook as well, because she was paying a lot.
I think that's such an interesting perspective that people don't realize that there's a huge cost to not being well, not feeling good, to paying for prescription medications, to going to doctor visits. There's a time cost and a financial cost that I think tends to inch up on people and they don't realize how much they're spending. So thank you for making that point.
You're welcome.
So I know you teach at different fitness conferences in person, both in person and online. And what are you usually asked to teach about? And what is your favorite part about sharing during those conferences with the fitness community and other communities you teach to?
So I'm asked a lot to talk about healthy aging, and I have different healthy aging topics that I talk about. I just spoke at a conference of one of the SCW fitness conferences this weekend about better sleep for active agers. I have another one coming up next month for SCW, and that's more of a weight loss, weight management focus for that one coming up. Over the past year, I've done tons of talks on immunity. A few years ago, I developed a program called Immunity Boosters and Busters, and that was because of the flu. I wanted to help people during the flu season. When the coronavirus came out, I thought, oh, wow, what I've been teaching about for immunity boosters and busters can really help people. It's the same principles that can help you to just arm yourself naturally. And I'm not saying it's, you know, going to solve coronavirus by any means, but it can give you potentially better outcomes if we eat really well, so that we might not get sick as other people. If we hydrate well, we might not, you know, have worse outcomes. So if we are monitoring our vitamin D intake, we also may have better outcomes. So there's a lot that we can do. And vitamin D isn't routinely tested. You have to advocate for yourself. My kids' appointments recently had to say, you know, I want their vitamin D tested. My own doctor's appointment, I want my vitamin D tested. Your doctor, doctors in general, aren't going to write for that. They're not going to send you to get that lab. You have to advocate for it. And I feel it's really important to know, because it can be very helpful. If you know, then you can, you know, maybe change up your diet, maybe take a supplement. I'm not a huge fan of supplements, but in the case of vitamin D, if you're deficient and you live, like I'm in the Boston area, we've had a lot of cloudy days and it's hard to get enough sun in the wintertime. So it's, that's when a supplement can be helpful.
Right. I love that you, thank you for adding that about vitamin D, because you're right. A lot of people or a lot of medical professionals are not checking that routinely. And it is something that we know that can be very beneficial for our immune systems and every other parts of our body as well, to being able to fight things. When we take better care of ourselves, our bodies are better able to ramp up and do what they need to do. So
that is so, so true. And the other part of your question about what do I like to share at these conferences or what do I like best? What I love is that I often learn so much from the people attending. It becomes such a nice back and forth, and we stay in touch afterwards, and they tell me things on like Facebook, like they'll tag me. And I had this lovely woman from Florida, her name is Faith, and Faith, she tagged me that there's a new organic, this is a, you know, a couple of years back, a new organic Triscuit. And that's great. Now I can share that with my clients who want a healthier cracker. That's one of the better ones to choose. And I wouldn't have found that for probably a very long time if she didn't mention it and tag me. So it's such a, it's a give and take. It's just beautiful. And I love and cherish all the friendships, all the people that I've met. And it's just, it's a good feeling. And it just goes both ways. I love that we support each other, that I give information and then they share theirs with me, and our friendships and partnerships grow from that. So it's been a really great experience speaking at conferences.
That's fantastic. Sounds like you're very relationship driven, which I love, because so am I. So we like that didactic of back and forth and yeah, having that relationship. So what do you think are the most important things for listeners to focus on for long-term health and longevity?
Well, the number one that we mentioned earlier is vegetables. Try to get enough vegetables. And where I start with my clients are, you know, I look at what they're eating. And if they're not eating vegetables at both lunch and dinner, then that's a good place where we start. And they may not be willing to do it every day. I'd love them to, right? But you start where people are at and, you know, have that goal of every day, eventually, just it's what you do. There's vegetables at lunch and dinner. And then once they're at lunch and dinner, can you put them at snack time too? You know, hummus and vegetables is a, you know, a great example. Or could you put it in breakfast, maybe as part of a smoothie? Or maybe if you eat eggs, you scramble in some vegetables with that. Or maybe you have a side of vegetables that you made from last night's dinner. You have that with your breakfast. In these cultures of longevity, many of them are having vegetables as part of breakfast. In Abkhazia, for example, they have salad with a porridge. In our country, a porridge might be oatmeal. But in other countries like China, porridge might be a millet porridge. Or it might be in Abkhazia, cornmeal porridge. So some type of whole grain with, you know, a vegetable would be a great idea. And, you know, I'm a big proponent of making sure you're getting enough protein as you age as well. And it can be a little controversial when you look outside of our country. Other countries aren't getting as much protein. But I feel that these areas are, the people are moving much more. And that's why they may be eating a little less protein, but they're moving a lot. And in our country, some people are overdoing the protein, but we're very sedentary. So I think there can be a sweet spot for protein. And when clients come to me, I look at how much they weigh, because your protein needs are based on weight. And then I do some calculations to figure out where they should be. And that's, you know, based on what their fitness goals might be, how much activity they get. Are they looking for weight loss? Are they a vegetarian? Some people I call them products of the 80s, where they don't like protein. That's what they tell me. And this, believe it or not, comes up a lot. And I would say generally I see this women 50s to 60s I get that come to me. So I look at what they eat and they just don't eat enough protein, like very low. And I think in the 80s, they went fat free and they just went really high in the carbs. And then they developed that liking for carbs. And they might be, eating a lot of bread and pretzels and pasta. And some of them may be getting vegetables, but they're just they missed the protein boat. So we need protein for our immune system, for your hormones, for your healthy skin. It's just, muscles, of course. So I look at that and try to make sure that they're getting enough protein. And then, for when you look at longevity, nuts and seeds and beans are very important. And I look at that, and then the question is, what are people willing to do? Because I can talk about beans and nuts and seeds all day, but if they're not willing to do that, I have to work with where they're at. And if they're eating a lot of red meat, I try to get them moving away from that to more beans if they're willing. And then, fish for sure. If they're willing to do fish, fish is, really great for your brain, for your heart. The omega-3 fats are anti-inflammatory. So, I see if they're getting enough fish, try to get some fish into them. And then fruit, are people doing fruit? The keto diet, I think, is an anti-longevity diet. It pushes people away from fruit, and I'm not a fan of that. I respect people's individuality with what they want to do. But when you start telling people to move away from fruit, that's just not intuitive. I mean, we were made to eat plants, fruits, and vegetables. And what I recommend is getting a rainbow array of fruits and try to get a variety. Try to get three different types of fruits a day. And I don't think you have to have volumes of it. So when people, they're thinking of doing keto, just eat fruit, but eat, a small to medium piece or half cup of whatever type of cut up fruit or berries that you're having. So it could be three half cup servings throughout the day, or three small to medium pieces of fruit, or some mixture thereof. So it's not a lot. And that would be at a minimum. And it's not to say you can't have more than that. But I think that if people are afraid because they're looking to lose weight, try to get your three servings of fruit in. And if you're not eating fruit, I question, what are you eating, as part of your looking at the overall diet? Because three pieces of fruit that I'm recommending, that's, 60 to 80 calories in a piece. So I'm only talking about, less than 200 calories, really. If you do 60 times three, it's 180 calories. So we're talking somewhere around 180 to 200. It's really not much of your overall diet. So that's big. And then moving is a big piece of longevity. So if you injure a certain area of your body, then what can you do? So I'm always thinking when I work with people, what can you do? What are you willing to do? Rather than you should do X, Y, and Z. You could do these. What are you willing to do? So together we come up with a plan that's really helpful for them. And then staying hydrated is really important, getting enough water in. So I work on water with my clients. An easy way to tell is look at your urine color. If it's dark, you want to drink more. You want it to be a pale yellow. But generally around 9 cups a day for women and 13 cups a day for men. That includes all liquids that you're drinking. And if you're nowhere near that, I work with people to move toward that. So that's how I help people out. But the keys to longevity: vegetables, fruits, nuts and seeds, switching to whole grains is really important, more plant food. The beans are super big, really helpful. They have a lot of micronutrients that are really healthy for your skin, for heart health, for your immune system. So beans are really great to look into. So, that's where I start with people, and then, the moving, but there's a little more than nutrition and fitness. It's also, what does someone's spirituality look like? That's a piece of what I've seen with cultures of longevity. It doesn't mean you have to belong to a certain religion, but just you know, being more mindful can really tap into your own spirituality as well. So that's another piece. And I always promote meditation, but it doesn't mean people have to do it. If they're not willing or ready, then that's fine. And meditation can take several forms. It can be prayer, it can be deep breathing, guided meditations, but these really can help people with their wellness.
Mm-hmm. Especially for stress. I think people don't realize that we tend to be, we have a stress level that is chronic. I mean, we're just constantly running from, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? Or, you know, who needs what? And I think it's hard for people, some people, to recognize that that is a constant state of stress, which creates cortisol, which makes it harder to lose weight. I mean, it creates this whole cycle. So while I don't do really actual meditation, I do take time out where I unplug from everything and I don't listen to anything and I just sit. So that's kind of my form of meditation. But I love that you're speaking my language. Oh, you're talking about, I love that you address the whole thing about fruits, because I think there's so much misinformation out there and all of these sugar cleanses or, you know, stop the sugar things. I see them all the time right now because we're at the beginning of the year. And I think that's great if you're talking about added sugars, but don't stop the fruit. The fruit has so many other great things in it that are good for your body and your skin and your microbiome and all of that. So thank you for addressing that.
Thank you. I mean, we would never tell monkeys stop eating bananas. That's how I always kind of look at it. And we're humans. We were meant to eat fruit. It protects against cancer, protect your eyesight. It's just so important for your body. So that's one thing where I feel really strongly about, where I kind of will go against that keto way of eating. That style of eating, or paleo, one of the things that is helpful when people do go that way, they do tend to eat more vegetables and they tend to clean up their diet. So if I had to pick out something, but overall, I think the Mediterranean way of eating is a more healthful lifestyle than, you know, some of these other bad type of diets.
And the Mediterranean diet is the most researched diet. I mean, they're constantly studying that. So we know that it has so many health promoting benefits. So moving on, I believe we're all aging from the time that we're born and that we're all meant to move. So do you have any special tips for people who maybe haven't done the best job of keeping moving, whether it's due to work or being home, taking care of children, how they can get back on track?
Sure. There's a few different things that I do with my clients, and some may be a little not very traditional, but one thing I find is that many people don't have a space to work out, or their treadmill is cluttered or buried. And one thing you want to think about is, do you need to clean up or declutter to create a space to work out and do your yoga? We're all at home now more because of coronavirus. And I've had people tell me, I don't want to work out in front of my family, in front of my husband. And so we want to think about, what is the barrier? What is holding you back? And do you have a place to exercise? And can you clean up an area, move things around a little bit? Sometimes the clutter holds us back from our best selves. And just cleaning up a little bit can really help to make you feel good. So that's one little thing that I have addressed in my coaching sessions. The other thing I think is to, you know, break the ice on your exercise. And by that, I mean that if you know you should, and sometimes these shoulds really get in the way for us, but you should be exercising 30 minutes or an hour a day, or whatever you think you should be doing. But really, what could you do? Could you do 5 minutes today just to break the ice on the exercise? Why do you, I think when people think they have to do 1 hour, it feels like too much, so they do nothing. But the new physical fitness guidelines say any movement is good. So just a 5 minute walk is better than no walk at all. Sometimes I just have 10 minutes in between meetings. I'll put on music, or I'll go on YouTube and just put on, yesterday I put on dance moves. And I learned a new dance move that's so simple that I can't wait when we all go back out dancing. I didn't know you cross your arms and then uncross them, and you can do it like below your waist, chest height or up high. I never knew that. And it, yes. So I thought, wow, I never did that move. And sometimes, you know, you're out dancing, not sure what to do next. And now I know. And that's because I had just a few minutes in between some other things I was doing. I took that break, Googled dance moves, that came up. And now I know this cross move. And I'm excited about it. I don't have to wait till the clubs. Now I can just put on any music on YouTube and do my cross move dance. And so can you, you know, so can anyone listening. So little bits that you make fun. For me, you know, that's a fun thing. Also, the music that you listen to as a teenager. And I was giving a presentation recently and I asked them, what music did you listen to? Because when you put that on, it can make you want to dance. And someone said the Del Vikings. So I, later on, I Googled Del Vikings and they have a song. I think it's Come Go With Me. It's great. It's from the late 50s. And you've probably heard it before. I'm not going to repeat it because my singing voice isn't there right now. But it's so much fun. And you put that on. It's a happy song. Why not dance to it? Why not do the cross dance move with it and just have fun? So I think that music can get you moving. I notice when I put it on, when I'm on the treadmill or on the bike, I'll go a little faster when I have the music on. So it's very helpful for fitness.
I love that. I think it's important to make it fun and not have it be something that you dread. So I love those tips. That's great. So I know it must be very fulfilling to help someone successfully lose weight and keep it off or feel better after working on a healthier lifestyle. Can you just share some success stories from people you've worked with?
Sure. I have many different clients that have changed their health and have had really wonderful results. I've seen so much weight loss over the years. And what I hear sometimes, even I just heard a doctor recently saying, oh, exercise doesn't really help you lose weight. And I just beg to differ because I've seen it help people in conjunction with watching what they eat, but it does help. And I've seen it help. It's just part of the puzzle of people. So what I've seen with the clients I've worked with, you know, a whole ton, I've helped so many people lose weight, but I've also seen them have less pain. I've seen them sleeping better, getting sick less. I've seen them, their blood pressure go down, their cholesterol go down, their blood sugars go down. So I've just seen really great things when people put their mind to it. And when they, you know, get someone to help, I have found that the coaching model seems to work better than just the nutrition alone. So I do a lot of coaching where I look at the big picture. Clutter, I just mentioned clutter, that comes up a lot. And some, I work with a lot of teachers, and when they clean up the clutter in their classroom, they feel better. And then in their homes and create that space, like I mentioned. So the big picture is, you know, are you moving? Are you sleeping? You know, of course, what are you eating? And then the meditation, if they're willing to, you know, what are they doing for stress relief? What are your coping mechanisms? And also I work with people on what makes them happier. I call these your energizers. We all know what stresses us out. What makes you happy? And that's been different for my clients. It might be photography. It might be reading. It might be walking the beach. And it might be visiting family. So these are things that we want to make sure that we do. So we want to put them in the calendar and keep them as a piece of our overall vision for our health so that we don't forget. And then once I work with people over time, we develop what we call success factors, and they're different for everyone. So for one person, it might be logging their food is a success factor. Trying new recipes twice a month is a success factor so that we know if they start sliding off or falling off the, you know, the healthy eating wagon, we know what works for them. So it's just about putting those things back into place. So knowing your success factors really can help you to just kind of stay the course and realize, oh yeah, that logging my food really works. Oh, I haven't done that in a while. Oh, now I need to do that again. So these kinds of things have really helped when we discover what those are.
I love that. Sorry, I'm hearing a little bit of feedback when I first talk. So what are your thoughts on intermittent fasting, time-restricted eating, TRE, and things like that? It seems like everyone is doing some sort of time-restricted eating.
So when I work with clients, I find that many of them have had some success with that. And then I work with them. If that's what they want to do, great. But when you do eat, we want it to be healthy food. When I first started learning about it, I was listening to podcasts and I remember hearing these two women talk about intermittent fasting and they weren't eating all day. Then they were eating all this junk and they were like binging. And I thought, oh, that's not what we want to do. What I have seen success with is time-restricted feeding. So when people shorten their eating window and they widen the window when they're not eating, and eventually they might want to work up to 14 to 16 hours where they're not eating, and then 8 to 10 hours where they are eating. So that can look like, for example, if you were eating 8 hours of the day, from 10 to 6 p.m. might be when you're eating. And then the rest of the time you're not eating. And then you might, you know, depending if that's working for you or not, you might want to widen the gap. But whatever you're doing now, so let's just say now you get up and you eat at 6 a.m. and your last meal is 8 p.m. You don't want to all of a sudden just dramatically change that. You can kind of, you can shorten that eating gap and widen the gap slowly where you're not eating. So that might be a way to help people out. I think that for people with eating disorders, it's not recommended. But I think it can be helpful for some people. So I think that it's just something else to try along with healthy eating. One of the studies I was looking at recently compared time-restricted feeding to just cutting back on your calories, but not restricting the times. And they seem to be about, they both worked. So I think you just have to find what works for you. And if what works for you is saying 6 o'clock, I'm shutting the kitchen down, then great. But if we have families and kids are out playing soccer and not getting home till 7 p.m. and that's when you can eat as a family, then maybe time-restricted feeding doesn't work so well for you. So that's something to, you know, to consider. But I think it can be helpful for some people.
Yeah. It has to work with your family and your lifestyle and all of that as well. So thank you for addressing that.
You're welcome.
Do you have some resources you can share in addition to your book that you can share with people, our listeners, some resources that they could use?
Sure. So my book is called Healthy Dividends, Investments in Nutrition, Health. I'm sorry, Nutrition, Movement, and Healthy Habits That Pay Off. And it's an Amazon bestseller, so it's available on Amazon. And the other resources that I love free things. So Insight, and by the way, my book is super cheap. It's 99 cents for the ebook and $8.49 for the paperback. So I've always loved deals. And the free stuff that I love is Insight Timer is a free meditation app. That's INSIGHT Timer, TIMER. That's on the web. So you can pull it up on the internet, or you can download the app for it. And there's just all these great, wonderful meditations. And depending on what you need, if you need more sleep, better sleep, you can search the word sleep in there. If you're going through sadness, you can look up the word sadness and have meditations that help you deal with sadness. If you want more productivity or focus for the day, which I put that in there when I've needed more focus during these crazy coronavirus times, when we're all at home more, put that in, focus, and you'll have meditations that come up, and they've helped me. That day that I did one on focus, I was so focused that day. It was amazing. So I love Insight Timer. I also love Lose It, LOSEIT. And that's a great food logging app. And there's a lot you can get for free with Lose It. And then you can pay a premium to get some more features. But that, you know, I think that's fantastic. So those are two of my favorite free resources.
Those sound fantastic. I actually have Insight Timer, but I was not aware of the other one. That's great. Good to know for a food logging. So how could someone contact you, or if they'd like to work with you, you can share your website. And of course, I will add all of the links you sent me, including your social media channels. I'll add them in the show notes to this podcast.
Thank you very much. So the easiest way to get in touch is my website, and that is www.trishasilverman.com. That's TRICIASILVERMAN.com. There's a contact page where you can get in touch with me. And then I'm on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. So, you know, feel free to get in touch with me there. I'm starting to put things on Pinterest too. And it's really fun to stay in touch with people on social media. I learn, like I said, as much as from the people that I become friends with on there, then you know, it's that great back and forth for sure. And it's wonderful.
Yeah, great connection. So thank you again. This was so fun. Thank you for all that you shared and for all that you do to help people all across the U.S. and even internationally with your wellness business and your teaching. And congratulations for your recent promotion. So that is wonderful. And we're so glad you were able to share all of this with us today.
Thank you, Heidi. This was really wonderful. It's so great to connect with you. And it's really an honor to be here and a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. If you enjoyed it, I hope you share it and click the subscribe button so you don't miss future episodes. See you on the next one.